ESPN Daily is presented by Supercuts, the smarter, easier way to get a haircut. It's not just any haircut. It's Supercuts.
Clark Harris to snap. Kevin Huber to hold. Checks with McPherson. Snap. Spot. Kick is up. It is good! And the Cincinnati Bengals are champions of the AFC North for the first time in 6 years.
So that is how the once lowly Bengals defeated the mighty Kansas City Chiefs, giving Cincinnati its division and giving us a microcosm of how wild Week 17 was across the NFL. There were comebacks and fights and playoff eliminations. And today, our Monday morning quarterback, Alex Smith, returns to make sense of all of it. I'm Pablo Torre. It's Monday, January 3rd, 2022. This is ESPN Daily. Alex Smith, Happy New Year, man. How are you feeling?
Pablo, likewise. I am doing really, really well. Cannot complain.
I'm a little afraid, Alex. I won't lie to you here. I'm a little afraid of 2022 already, just because I figured maybe we'll ease into this thing. Maybe it'll be a little bit more calm. Maybe it'll be a little bit, you know, less absurd. And then I started watching football today, and I was just like, I should just strap in. This is not going to get any easier for us.
This morning, honestly, Pablo, was really stressful for me. There were 9 games going at once, and a lot of them were really, really good. And it was, I'm not going to lie, it was really hard to keep track of them all. I was bouncing all over the place. I was a bit of a mess. It did make me reflect on, you know, we haven't talked in a couple of weeks, but, you know, the end of December, because of COVID, the NFL schedule got put into a frenzy. And there was literally a 10-week stretch where we had games on 8 out of 10 days.
Yep.
And it was really amazing, in my opinion. And to have 9 games going at once, it was a bit much this morning, yes.
Yeah, both my football diet and my actual diet over the holidays, both very unhealthy in the end. Like, I'm just constantly watching football and eating cheese. Both of the things that my doctor isn't sure are totally advisable. But Alex, I want to begin here by picking one particular game out of the chaos of the day, and that's Kansas City Cincinnati, because this one felt to me, man, like an AFC title game preview. And that's a thing I'm still getting used to saying about the Bengals. But here they are winning 34-31. Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow, I mean, they're just trading ICBMs or launching missiles at each other. And all of it culminates in this last drive. And this last drive, for people who may have missed this, it's 15 plays, 7 of them take place at the 1 yard line. And how do you even begin to process what we saw as the Bengals ultimately kicked a field goal here to win this game?
Yeah, I mean, I think first off, you said it. I think we can all only hope that this was a preview of the AFC Championship game, because I think we would be really lucky to see this rematch. This game did not disappoint. It was absolute fireworks from start to finish. It was a ton of fun to watch. It was a bit weird in the end. Like you said, 7 straight goal line plays, a goal line stand at the 1 yard that the Chiefs held up, and then there were penalties, and it just kept going and going and going. I thought, I'm obviously a little biased in this, but I thought some pretty ticky-tack calls in the stretch against Kansas City that really allowed the Bengals to stay in it. But they pulled it out. You know, I got to take my hat off to them. They stayed aggressive all day. Zach Taylor didn't take his foot off the gas. And I mean, it made me think, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about some amazing offenses all year and groups of talented players. But when you think about what the Bengals have done this season, they have 2,000-yard receivers that are under 23 years old. It's the first time I think that's ever happened in the history of the NFL. Obviously, Jamar Chase was absurd today. 11 catches for 260.
11 catches for a million, yeah, somewhere around there. Yeah.
Joe Mixon is also only 25 years old, and so is Joe Burrow, who, you know, he didn't throw for 550 yards like last week. He only threw for 440 today. So, I mean, this group of playmakers they have, to have that group of talent under the age of 25, I mean, is crazy. And they play with a ton of poise and continue to make plays today. Jamar Chase's first touchdown, it reminded me of Reggie Bush in college. He caught a little 10-yard pass underneath. He hit a hard cutback into the middle of the field and then ran away from everybody. It was everybody.
Yeah. And by the way, just for the record here, calling anyone Reggie Bush in college is about the highest compliment you can pay a football player. Just like a guy who should be tackled at 17 different points escapes and is somehow now striding into the end zone.
Got an open target. It's Chase at the 40. Look at that move. Look at Chase go. Oh my goodness. What a gear he just found. Chase for the touchdown.
Tony Romo and Jim Nance were running out of different ways they could play off the name Chase.
Wow, Chase is on the case. 72 yards.
He kept making plays. And yes, it was back and forth.
Daring you to make a series of terrible puns.
Yes.
But Alex, the back and forthness of this, I think it's worth noting here, for Jamar Chase's sake, I got the actual numbers in front of me, 11 catches, 266 yards, 3 touchdowns. That is, in fact, the most receiving yards ever for a rookie in the NFL. And the throws, you know, it wasn't even necessarily the one that you mentioned. That's the one that was maybe the most mind-blowing, which is itself mind-blowing to say, but that 3rd and 27 on the final drive...
Yep. Yeah, just a nonchalant black back shoulder throw, 3rd and 27, no sweat.
Pick up some of that yardage to make it a simpler kick.
They're coming after you. You got to throw it right away. You can score a touchdown here if you throw it.
Put it up. Chase has it. They got the one-on-one right over Ward.
I think the thing that really jumps out to me about Joe Burrow is how easy he makes it look. And I think that is really a sign of true greatness. I know he's so young and it's crazy to say, but when we think about the great players, Tom Brady makes it look so easy at times. Aaron Rodgers makes it look so easy at times. Joe Montana in his heyday. It just, you know, they made the crazy look ordinary. And Joe Burrow kind of has that about him. It came to come down again to the wire back and forth and to out-duel the Kansas City Chiefs who've, this has kind of been their deal. They've been the one that no one can seem to go punch for punch with them. And the Bengals did it today. So I do, again, going back to the ending, it really kind of left me. I wish the refs and the flags hadn't come into play quite as much. And I hope we get to see a rematch of this game because, it was a lot of fun today.
Well, you mentioned the flags, obviously, your Kansas City roots. I understand your perspective on that. The thing that I was terrified by, though, was the fact that Joe Burrow gets knocked out of the game. Because, look, Alex, they're going for it. They're going for a touchdown on fourth down over and over again. And only when Joe Burrow gets knocked out of the game because he's grabbing his knee, do they end up sort of modulating the plan and, okay, we'll kick the field goal and win. And also the time is all drained because of all these penalties and all of these false stops and starts. But after in the game, you talked about him making it look easy. You know, he's smoking a cigar, he's dancing, he has his victorious AFC North champion shirt on. I mean, this is the guy who descended from the heavens seemingly into the lives of Bengals fans everywhere, hoping, praying for a little drop of rain. Now they have this guy.
First off, I would not want to have been the backup today. Like you said, I think everybody in that stadium's heart was coming out of their chest as they continued to go for it on fourth downs at the one-yard line. And they kept having to redo it. They get the defensive holding call, whatever it was on that last final fourth down attempt. So they get a first down, an automatic first down. And that's the play. Burrow hurts his knee. And the backup has to run out. And it was a really weird series of events where they wanted to milk the clock at that point to kick the field goal.
Brandon Allen awkwardly just showing up.
His first snap, I'm here now. Yep, yeah. At the 1 yard line to take a knee. And then he had to take a snap and spike it right after.
That's right.
Yeah, but I think Zach Taylor would have done the same thing if Burrow was in the game. At least I hope so. It was the right play at that point. But Burrow has been, like I said, it's so crazy to watch because he makes it look so easy. He's so under control back there. And then to think about the ACL injury he had last year, and it hasn't affected him. We talk about all the progression of these young players and quarterbacks, man, and Joe Burrow certainly doesn't look and play like a second year player. And happy for all the Bengal fans out there, man. I know they've good for them, and for them to pull it out this year is great. Yep.
Well, you mentioned Brady, Alex, and how easy he makes all of it look, and this is one of those days where we would be discussing, first and foremost, how Tom Brady did it to the Jets again, right? He pulls off a miracle finish for what feels like the millionth time in his career to avoid a massive upset. You know, they were on the ropes to a bad Jets team. But the story of this game, of course, is Antonio Brown. Because Antonio Brown, who had been welcomed back to the team by head coach Bruce Arians 2 weeks ago after a three-game suspension for a fake vaccine card, today in the third quarter, strips out of his pads and his jersey, proceeds to dance across the end zone, bare-chested, while the game is going on, by the way.
Very odd situation. Antonio Brown boiled over, very upset on the sideline, took off his shoulder pads. Mike Evans, O.J. Howard, trying to convince him to keep them on. Obviously, they were unable to do so. He tossed his shoulder pads, stripped off his shirt and glove, threw those into the crowd, then ran across the field while the teams were still on the field, giving the crowd a peace-out sign.
And then he disappears into the locker room only to reemerge later on the internet, where I presume he remains as we speak. So there are obviously many concerns and questions about exactly what is behind this behavior. But I guess the question I have for you is there even anything you would compare this to?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, to go back real quick to Tom Brady, the fact that we're talking about this and not talking about the laser beam that the 44-year-old Tom Brady threw with 15 seconds on the clock to a guy I don't even know his name playing receiver for the basically walk-off win. I mean, how he's still doing this at his age. It was an absurd throw.
Catch made to the end zone. Cyril Grayson. Touchdown, Tampa Bay.
But yeah, again, we're talking about AB. I think for me, you know, we've seen these kind of episodes from him over the years, you know, and thought he was doing better, thought he was in a good place there in Tampa Bay. And clearly this year, it's gone awry. And so, you know, immediately following the game, Bruce Arians basically said he's no longer a Buccaneer and that they officially released him. I think today it goes through, I think officially the waiver wire on Monday, when everybody's listening to this, but yeah, I mean, I think also now with the loss of Chris Godwin and AB, who we thought was one of Tom's favorite targets, you know, when he was in the lineup,
a housemate of his, somebody who invited into his home. Yes.
You combine those two of the guys, I think that, you know, from a target standpoint, obviously Tom loves and this offense doesn't quite look the same. You know, yeah, they still have Mike Evans and Gronk, but you take those two guys out and not the same Buccaneers team as last year. We'll see if they're able to overcome it. I think from the drama aspect, I think this team is so mature, Tom at the forefront of it, but it definitely was bizarre today and leave it to the ageless wonder to be able to pull it out nonetheless. But we'll see what they look like going forward. I do think, like I said, they don't have the playmakers outside like they're accustomed to having.
Right, right. And Tom Brady, for the record, after the game, urges compassion for Antonio Brown.
Yeah, I mean, that's obviously a difficult situation. And, you know, I think we all want, you know, him to you know, just think everybody should find, you know, hopefully do what they can to help him in ways that, you know, he really needs it. And, you know, we all love him. We care about him deeply. You know, I think everyone should be very compassionate and empathetic toward, you know, some very difficult things that are happening.
The other aspect of this conversation is mental health. We have many unanswered questions around Antonio Brown now, seemingly more than ever. And all of this, Alex, but speaking of televised drama, we have even more from Sunday, and I want to get to it after the break.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
All right, Alex. So back to the actual high-stakes football games that I need you to help clarify for me. We go to Dallas. We go to Jerry World. We go to Kyler Murray and the Cardinals. Basically, hanging on to beat the Cowboys 25-22. There is a mysterious non-fumble there at the end, which I still don't fully understand. But all I know really is that both teams are now 11-5. So what did Arizona in this circumstance prove to you against Dallas?
Yeah, I mean, this was an interesting game to watch. It was a bit of a snooze fest for the first half and into the third quarter, and definitely picked up there in the second half, especially the Cowboys. But an interesting game. The Cowboys were huge, huge favorites. They just came off a week ago. They absolutely crushed the Washington football team in a blowout victory.
Yes.
The Cards are coming in off of three straight losses, one of which is to the Detroit Lions. Everybody kind of thought they were reeling, a lot like last year. And was this happening all over again? And man, the Cardinals went in and played great, great defense, really, shut this Cowboys offense down for most of the game. The Cowboys got some stuff going in the fourth quarter and really made this game obviously interesting in the end.
Yep.
Kyler looked under control. He made the plays when he needed them. Again, I think they are missing DeAndre Hopkins, and hopefully we'll get him back in time for the playoffs. But they made enough plays. AJ Green made enough plays on the outside. And Kyler, again, I think continues to be that kind of missing element in the run game. And they looked like a tough football team, the team that I think that we've talked about so often this year. And we're kind of wondering where they had gone the last few weeks. And for the other side of the ball, I think the Cowboys questions again, I know they looked great last week against a beat up Washington football team, but are they slumping, to steal one from Jerry? Like, where is this team as we have 1 week left in the season before playoffs? And obviously everybody at this point wants to be clicking on all cylinders. But again, the Cardinals looked like a tough football team. And again, I thought the more physical unit today on both sides of the ball, and it showed all the way to the end.
So one thing I don't ask you about a lot, Alex, is line play. And in this game, I will point out, the Cardinals got back their starting center, Rodney Hudson, from injury. And it did seem to have an effect on Kyler Murray, just helping him settle in. Explain for the casual listener here, like, what does it mean to get the guy who snaps the ball to you back? Like, what does that do for a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think beyond, obviously, the comfort of the quarterback center exchange, which obviously starts every single play. And I think oftentimes with Kyler, we see him moving around so much in the shotgun. They do so much at the line of scrimmage, and there have been a ton of miscues for them, with this connection. And I think obviously a level of comfort to get Rodney back. Rodney is a guy that I was fortunate enough to get to play with in my career in Kansas City. And I think there's also a big relationship for a young quarterback having a veteran center. The center is the guy that makes a ton of calls at the line of scrimmage, whether it be protection or the run game, that makes sure all those five guys and everybody in the blocking unit is on the same page. So to get a veteran guy back and to kind of take that load off of Kyler in that sense, I think is probably a big relief for him.
So the Cardinals, as we stand now, are second in the NFC West, breathing down the necks of the Los Angeles Rams, Alex. And this one also had snooze fest qualities, if we're being honest, at least to start. The Rams were sluggish in Baltimore. They're playing the Ravens. Matt Stafford starts the game off basically by throwing another pick six.
Stafford throws an interception. Chuck Clark takes it back for the score.
He's now thrown four of these, leading the NFL in pick sixes. But then he begins to dig himself out of the hole. And he beats Tyler Huntley, who's in for Lamar Jackson with the ankle injury. He's beating the Ravens 20-19. How did the Rams pull this off?
Yeah, you said it. I mean, a bit of a rocky start for the Rams early on. To be honest, and to be fair to Matthew, the pick six really wasn't his fault. I thought it was a great play by the DB. A ton of scout study. He jumped the route. He wasn't even guarding the intended receiver. Really kind of came off of him to make a play on this underneath throw. I think one of those things that obviously he saw a tell and took advantage of it, and it was really a great play by him. I thought Matthews showed a lot of composure, kind of settling in. He also threw a deep ball late that got, or that got picked. That was also in the first half, but settled in the second half and really made some big, big throws. They got a score right before half to Cooper Kupp that I thought really kind of changed the tide of this game.
Stafford for Kupp, right on cue, into the end zone. Rams on the board with a touchdown.
Cooper Kupp, who again, I think, set a franchise record today. He's continuing to climb the...
He's absurd.
On the verge to break... I think a yards, a catches, and, you know, he's leading the NFL in all three major categories, including touchdown catches. But yeah, I think the thing that really jumped out today was when they needed big plays, especially in the fourth quarter, Matthew Stafford leading them down to come from behind in the fourth, that twice in the biggest moments, they turned to their new addition, OBJ, a guy that has taken a ton of heat and a ton of criticism this year. He's a midseason acquisition, which is, I think, takes a lot of time to gel. Everybody's been scrutinizing him. But today on a 4th-and-5, he made a huge catch for a conversion on the final drive and then had the touchdown winner.
Stafford rolls, throws, end zone, Beckham, held on, touchdown, Rams lead.
And it was really, really nice to see, I think, for them to you know, here as the weeks have gone on, for him to kind of continue to settle in and find his role in this offense. And then for them to continue to look for him in big situations, especially in the red zone. He's had a bunch of touchdown catches these last few weeks. So I think that's encouraging for this offense moving forward. Another side note is Sony Michel has played really, really well. I think this Rams offense has found a lot more balance. Sony Michel actually led the NFL in rushing in the month of December. And again, I think that's a huge sign for them as they head into, you know, the playoffs. And then on the other side of the ball, Von Miller, huge, huge sack.
Yeah.
That basically sealed off the game. And it was nice to be able to see him make a play again, you know, because if he's playing well, he's a real weapon for them combined with Aaron Donald up front. So, yeah, it was encouraging. You know, this is a franchise that has taken a lot of risk, a lot of bold moves, and a lot of people watching. They've taken a lot of heat. And a couple of those key acquisitions paid off today, and it's nice to see them settling into their new home.
Yeah, the question I have for you, Alex, especially as a guy who has, you know, been in a couple huddles in his day, is when two of your teammates just start fighting, like, how big a deal is that really? And I refer, of course, to the fact that early on in this game, Jalen Ramsey, the Rams cornerback, a star, also a volatile human being at times, he open-hand punches Taylor Rapp, their safety.
That was really wild, Adam. I watched it unfold. You're going to see that. Look, he punched his own guy.
Ramsey and Rapp getting it.
Wow.
And if you're the quarterback, if you're Stafford and you're looking at that and you notice it, does that worry you, or is this just kind of how life goes in the NFL?
Pablo, there's a reason that all these, teammate to teammate, incidences happen on the defensive side of the ball. This is something that rarely happens on the offensive side of the ball, where cooler heads prevail. Most defensive players really are offensive rejects when it comes down to it. And, they're over there. And yeah, it's just, you know, there's a little bit, it's just a different mentality on that side of the ball. And I can assure you, Matthew probably didn't think twice. He was probably more concerned with the guys in his huddle. But yeah, I mean, it isn't, listen, we get it. There's so much on the line. Here we are, we're into January. Playoffs on the doorstep. These games are even more meaningful, which is, you know, absurd to say. And yeah, things get heated. These are a couple of competitive guys that obviously losing at that point, frustrated, and it showed up in the form of obviously that exchange. But not surprised that it happened on the defensive side of the ball, Pablo.
Yeah, no, spoken like a true gentleman, Alex Smith, truly. You looked at me through your monocle and said, yes, those defensive players, my good chap, they have a bit of a screw loose, yes.
It's facts. It's just the truth.
So I want to go to the third team in the NFC West now. A team, a huddle that you are intimately familiar with, or you were once upon a time, because the San Francisco 49ers are still alive. The Rams are 12-4. The Cards are 11-5. The Niners are 9-7 after beating the Texans today 23-7. And Trey Lance was the story here to me, at least as I saw it. The rookie quarterback getting the second start of his entire life in for Jimmy Garoppolo and Jimmy G's injured thumb. What did Lance look like to you, Alex?
Yeah, I mean, I honestly, I watched this game. I was really intrigued We've talked a lot about the rookie quarterbacks. Trey Lance is such a unique talent. And I think just the entire story of his college career, only playing one game last year, really a bit of an unknown, hasn't played this year. He's really been the lone first round, you know, rookie quarterback that hasn't seen extensive play time. Mm-hmm. And here was his second start. And I thought he showed a lot of growth. I thought he looked far more patient and under control today, really let the game come to him. I thought in his first start, he really pressed and tried to make plays, relied far too much on his legs in his first start. I thought today he looked far more under control and definitely settled in as the game went on. This was, I think, something to build on. I think he'll take a lot of confidence from this today. There were some throws I think he's going to want back, and some guys made some great catches for him on the outside. But I think this is all part of him just kind of settling in and getting comfortable playing from the pocket at the NFL level. But I definitely saw a progression from his first start. And I thought it was, again, I think this is something that he really can build off, whether or not he plays this next week. Again, he beat a good football team today. The Texans, I know they haven't been playing great, but they've won two in a row. This is a Texans team that just beat up on Justin Herbert and the Chargers last week.
Yeah, that's fair.
And
that's
so fair. I thought this was a big win for him.
So obviously I value your perspective as someone who was playing this sport last season, Alex, as crazy it is to say that.
Yep.
But the good news is that today you actually passed for more yards than the New York Giants. In fact, I did too. We all did. Everybody listening to this podcast, we collectively passed for more yards than the New York Giants, who, when you do the accounting here, had negative 10 yards through the air. And of course, there are some numbers that are worth mentioning here. Mike Glennon had 24 yards passing, but 34 yards worth of sacks, so hence minus 10. But this is the first time this has happened since 2009, I believe, Alex Smith. So what is this? How did this happen? What does this mean?
I couldn't believe this when I saw this stat. You know, just for everybody out there, it was a pretty decent weather game. I mean, it's not like this was a monsoon or something, like some extreme.
Yeah, couldn't blame this
wasn't some extreme weather event.
Hurricane.
Yes,
no.
I mean, it would be understandable if so. No, it was a really pleasant day. I'm going to try to keep this as positive as I can about the Giants, but it's
sure.
going to be tough to. I mean, obviously, you know, they fire their offensive coordinator and Jason Garrett midseason. You know, that certainly obviously wasn't all the problem. Daniel Jones looks sorely missed at this point. And mm-hmm. I do think you have to wonder, have we been fairly evaluating Daniel Jones given the state of this passing game? Man, to have minus 10 yards passing is absolutely absurd. To post-game,
the post game
to hear the comments of them building a foundation for something is for me, is just really, it's a tough pill to swallow. There's been some extreme cases this year with COVID and teams having to play guys off the street that have gone out and had far better showings than what the Giants did today offensively. To even think about what the Baltimore Ravens playing Josh Johnson last week.
Yes.
What the Cleveland Browns had to do a couple weeks ago and playing a third string quarterback and being in those ball games, what the Giants did today was really, really embarrassing and hard to watch. It's going to be hard to see if Joe Judge comes back next season. I can't.
Well,
I mean,
I like this is. Hold on, you found the silver lining, Alex. You've done it for everybody in the New York area, including myself. You have said Joe Judge is actually so embarrassing that Daniel Jones may not be as bad as you think because everything around him has been this dysfunctional.
Yeah, hard to fathom. Again, hats off to Chicago. You got to look on the other side of the ball. Chicago played great. That defense obviously was dominant today. Robert Quinn, shout out to him, set the franchise record for sacks in a season. He has done that very, very quietly. And good for him. But yeah, they big win for the Bears. And the Giants left with a lot of questions. And congrats for the 0 yards passing today, Pablo. It's well done.
Yeah, Alex, thank you. It's always an honor to be recognized by my fellow quarterbacks. but after the break, I have yet more quarterbacking questions, specifically as it relates to Cleveland and Pittsburgh, where we'll be headed for Monday night.
Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, and game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part? each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code DAILY. That's code DAILY. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
So, Alex, we go now to Monday Night Football because the Browns are visiting the Steelers. It is Ben Roethlisberger's last game. The Browns, yes, have been mathematically eliminated from the postseason, but they have many questions around what happens to them in the offseason, what happened to them this season, honestly. And you spent your day before talking to me talking to Baker Mayfield. And so I want to start with just asking you what you learned from Baker, what you were curious about knowing as regards to what his life has been like in a very particularly weird and trying year for him.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. It was obviously awesome to get to talk to him and interview him today. I'm still perfecting my interview skills, Pablo, so I would appreciate any and all criticism coming my way. But yeah, you know, I'm a big fan
we'll
of his.
Break down the all 22
yeah,
after.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was a tough interview today because obviously the way their season has gone, you know, and so much of what we talk about now on this media side is obviously framed around narratives and expectations. And the reality is that the Browns, you know, the last time they were at Heinz Field last season, they won the wild card playoff game. They went and beat the Steelers and should have beat Kansas City at Arrowhead. We're a third and 14 Chad Henne scramble away from going to the AFC Championship game. And this offseason made a bunch of moves, especially on the defensive side of the ball. And they were a popular pick to you know, be a contender for the AFC title. And rightfully so. And Baker Mayfield being a huge part of that and his play last year. And I want to frame that all around the fact that this has been one of the most dysfunctional franchises of the past 25 years. When I think of the Browns quarterback situation, I think of that jersey, the Tim Couch jersey with the 32 taped names next to it.
Yep.
You know, and I mean, it's been literally a carousel of starting quarterbacks until Baker, going back for almost 20 years. And on the other side of the ball is Ben Roethlisberger, who has been just almost 20 years of stability, you know, for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and obviously a Hall of Fame career, first ballot. I mean, he's phenomenal, and it will be really interesting to watch. But again, yeah, Baker, to get to sit down with him and kind of ask some of those pointed questions. This is a guy that's played with a separated shoulder all year. He broke a bone in his shoulder on top of that. He's had a knee injury and a foot injury. I mean, he plays with some crazy harness.
Yeah, so what did he say in terms of a self-defense, given an injury history that is this year alone pretty extreme?
Yeah, I mean, I tried to lead him to the water, you know, with the injuries. This is a tough guy that's played through a lot, and he didn't take the bait. And this is a guy that doesn't give any excuses.
What has this year been like for you playing through so many injuries?
It's been really hard, to be honest with you. You know, I can't really sugarcoat that. I'd say this, I did everything I could to get to the point where I felt comfortable enough to play, to where I knew that I would help us win games and be healthy enough to do that. If I felt otherwise, I would have told them that I couldn't go. Yeah, it's been frustrating, but I had to overcome it. Nobody's going to feel bad for me, that's for sure.
He really, I thought, faced the music, and he has, again, last week, a tough performance against the Packers. He wasn't able to play all week because of COVID testing. He had to fly separately. He got to the stadium the day of the game. That was the first time he got to see his teammates. I mean, and then has to go play against the number one seed in the NFC. Those are things that we haven't talked about in the media. That those are extreme circumstances that he's played through. And he doesn't use it as a crutch, and I do appreciate him for that. But yeah, he was obviously honest that this year has been a disappointment, you know, for them, that they had high expectations for themselves and they haven't lived up to them. You know, but for me, I did appreciate his candidness, you know, and given this situation. But for me, I just go back to what he's done for this franchise. You know, it was only a few years ago that they were picking him with the number one overall pick because they were the worst team in football, and they are in a far different place. And a big reason for that is him. And, you know, obviously, hopefully he'll be able to get healthy, and they'll be able to, you know, get better this offseason and get another chance at it next year.
Well, look, the Steelers, it is a picture of contrasts, as you astutely observe. The Steelers, we know that Ben Roethlisberger is not going to be their quarterback next season. They are still, though, very much alive in the playoff hunt right now. Baker Mayfield's Browns have been eliminated, but it sounds like for the people who are wondering, is Baker Mayfield the Browns quarterback of the future? And I know he has this option that's already been picked up, but he's a free agent after next year. What's your sense, Alex, if you're somebody advising Browns fans? What are you saying to them in terms of how to feel about this guy going forward?
Yeah, I mean, they did pick up his fifth-year option, which I think was a no-brainer. I mean, I think he's making well under market value for starting quarterback in the NFL, whatever that number is. I don't know it off the top of my head. But I think Baker's a winning quarterback. I think he gives you a chance to win every single Sunday. I think this year he's played through a lot. This team on both sides of the ball have had their moments of letting down, the defense included in that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's a lot of places and that need to take blame. And I think Baker obviously is a part of that as well. But in my opinion,
you're not hitting the reset button.
Nope, he absolutely not. He gives you a chance to win this division and make the playoffs and make a run. I think every year he is a starting quarterback in the NFL. I think there are a ton of teams that would jump at a chance to have Baker under center for them, more than capable of taking this team the distance.
So as you continue to settle into your job as media mogul, Alex Smith, it is worth us remembering, I would say, the greatest of all time, or at the very least one of the two, him or Howard Cosell, historically, feel like the two guys that you mentioned when you talk about all-time great broadcasters, period. And of course, I'm talking about John Madden. And John Madden, the whole league held a moment of silence for him today. A legendary coach, Hall of Fame announcer, Hall of Fame inspiration, voice on a video game that is also the greatest of all time. He was an educator, a teacher. What did he mean to you? What does that name connote when I mention it to you now after he passed away, unfortunately, on December 28th?
Yeah, it brings up a lot of memories. I mean, just a couple of days, when we were discussing his passing with my family, you know, my 10-year-old plays Madden on PlayStation and Xbox. He loves it, right? I mean, it's as do most kids, but that's what he knows, you know, John Madden as.
Yeah.
He's he created this video game, you know, and having a long discussion, obviously, that he's so much more than that, you know, and that he's touched the game and a lot of us that love this game of football in so many different ways. And for me, reflecting on that, I love that he's passing. My son's 10, my other son's 8, that he's going to have an effect on them and already has going forward. For me personally, I'll never forget being a kid and tuning in on Thanksgiving and hearing John Madden talk about turducken.
Oh, man.
We had to explain to my son what turducken was. they have seen Little Giants and, you know, his famed speech in Little Giants of what a team is, you know?
Yes.
Listen, there's no big secret to winning football. It's just doing what these guys do every game. Just go out and give it your best.
You know, and as a kid, I still to this day cannot get the Tough Actin, Tenactin commercials out of my head.
Boom! Tough Actin, Tenactin. Clinically proven Tenactin cures even tough cases of athlete's foot fungus. Get Tough Actin, Tenactin.
You know, you just hear the pouring out of all the different stories and the ways he touched so many lives positively. I do think it's appropriate that the NFL, I think, really look at doing something in his honor, because he really is an icon and did it as a coach, a broadcaster, and then obviously in the video game frontier as well, and that will live on for a long, long time.
Yeah, I just want to give a little bit of a quote from that Little Giants script that John Madden performed memorably for you and your son and for me. We're a team. That's what you guys are, a football team.
You're a football team. That's kind of like a family, except you get to hit each other. But you have to stick together. Do that, you'll be fine.
Thanks, Mr. Madden.
Do that, and you'll be fine. Alex Smith, thank you for being a part of the ESPN Daily family for yet another year.
Pablo, thanks as always, man.
I'm Pablo Torre. This has been ESPN Daily. I'll talk to you tomorrow.